Hi, I'm Emma, and this is the Creative Edition. Our mission is to inspire creatives to discover, grow, and own their brand. Today, we're going to be sharing a few tips for any aspiring creators out there or brand new creators who are just starting out in 2024. So if you have a friend or maybe you are that person who is really interested in starting to create content online, but you aren't sure where to get started, this podcast episode is for you. We're going to be chatting about how to pick a niche or content pillar, create a mission statement, as well as figuring out your target audience. But before we get started, let's do our question of the day. And the question of the day is, what's something you're looking forward to this season? All right, friends. So as I'm recording this, it is already the spring season and the cherry blossoms are blooming. And one thing I'm really looking forward to is tulip season. I am really excited to take Braxton and Brandon to maybe a local farm near us to experience the tulips and the outdoors. I love the spring season in the Pacific Northwest. I think it's really a beautiful time, and we've been really lucky. I would say this past week, we hit 70 degrees for the first time since, oh my gosh, friends, I don't know, since like last fall or last summer. And so it has been a glorious time in the Pacific Northwest, and I am just loving all the flowers blooming, and I'm really looking forward to enjoying tulip season soon. All right, friends, so let's get into it. Here are a few tips on getting started as a creator in 2024. So tip one, friends, if you are a brand new creator or wanting to get started with content creation in this new year, my tip for you is to pick a niche or content pillar. So if you've never heard what a niche or content pillar is before, what that basically means is that it's just a specific topic or segment that you are going to choose to create content around. And honestly, friends, there are creators for every type of niche out there. And some of the common niches or content pillars that you might have seen on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube include food, travel, style, thrifting, books, beauty, parenthood, fitness, finances, arts, DIY, home decor, entertainment. Maybe you've seen those prank TikTok accounts as well. So I feel like, friends, you can honestly make a niche out of any passion that you might have. You might be someone who's very passionate about crocheting or knitting, or you might be someone who's very passionate about books, and you might want to jump in and start creating content on BookTok. Whatever your passion is or whatever you're interested in, I really recommend at least picking one niche or content pillar to start with. I think a lot of people get kind of hung up at first because they're like, well, I have a lot of passions though, and I want to create content on all of it. But if you are really just starting out, I think it's really helpful to just start with a clear point of view and know that you can always broaden out later. And so if you aren't sure like which, you know, passion or content pillar to pick, you can always take a step back and do a reflection exercise. Like I really recommend like doing a brainstorm dump at first. And if you're really passionate about fitness, for example, maybe you do a brainstorm or a brain dump about all the different like fitness, you know, ideas that you might have. Maybe you brainstorm and you write out your own personal fitness journey, and you write out all the different workouts that work for you, whether they are at home or at the gym. Additionally, if you do the brainstorm session, you're like, wait, I still have like these two passions that are, you know, pretty neck and neck, I actually recommend kind of going to your friends and family, going to them and like bouncing off ideas and seeing what your friends and family, you know, sometimes it's like helpful to just like kind of get a second opinion on like what they know you best for. And so one thing for me, friends, growing up, my friends always talked about or just like commented on my sense of style. I remember in high school, one of my friends on the gymnastics team, she was like, I can always know that you're going to be like wearing an outfit. Like you're not just like wearing clothes, you're always wearing an outfit. And so when I started my blog my senior year of college, like style was a pretty clear content pillar that I knew I wanted to start with. Like I originally just started Emma's Edition for my take on fashion and style. Obviously it's grown and evolved since then, but that was like really helpful for me to also like hear what my friends like kind of knew about my personal brand. And then that's how I started. All right, friends. So after you pick your content pillar or your niche, tip number two is to create a name. So sometimes I think creators get really hung up on picking a username or creating one. If you aren't sure where to start, you can always just start with your own name. It's your own name. It's literally unique to you. So you can always start with that. But if you don't want to use your own name, maybe you want to create a name around your niche or your content pillar. Sometimes I feel like that's really helpful. Like I know there are travel creators out there who have, you know, their content pillar or their niche like within their name. So for example, I have a few Instagram friends who like include their specific niche or their content pillar within their names. So Two Scoops of Style, Sarah and Leah, they are two, fashion style creators who focus on millennial fashion. And there's two of them because there's twins. So it's Two Scoops because there's two of them of style and they have style specifically called out in there. There's also my friend Talia. Hers is Travel with Talia. And so for her, you know, she travels all over the world documenting, you know, her different travel experiences. And I always like find her page really inspiring. It honestly makes me want to travel. And so her name and her content pillar and niche is literally in her username. And I feel like that's really clear. You know who she is and you know, like what to look for on her page. All right, friends. So after you pick your name, it's time to create a mission statement. So tip three, friends, is a mission statement. I feel like you probably know this about me. You know that I'm all about mission statements and clarifying like what your page, what your brand is about. And if you've never heard what a mission statement is before, a mission statement is just one to two sentences describing your purpose and values as a brand. So businesses typically have mission statements. I obviously like took this practice from my undergrad learning this in business school. I realized that after I graduated, or actually while I was in school, I realized like my blog could also have a mission statement. And so I recommend just like clarifying, writing down like what your mission statement is, because it also will be the foundation of your content strategy and plan. So if creating a mission statement seems really intimidating to you as a new creator or influencer, you can also just take a step back and reflect what your purpose is, because that's basically what it is, right? Like a mission statement includes your purpose. And so just taking the time to define the purpose for your brand and your social media page will literally help you figure out where to direct your focus and energy. And one thing I wanted to also touch on, friends, because this is related to creating, you know, picking a content pillar and niche, is that I have heard like over the years, a lot of creators and influencers think that creating a mission statement or a purpose statement and picking a niche may actually like box them in or like limit their creativity. But I really think, especially if you're a new creator and you're figuring out, you know, who you are as a brand and you're figuring out how to create content, I actually think it's really helpful to lay out your mission statement and define your purpose, because again, then you come from a clear point of view. And then when, you know, you are starting to create content more consistently, you know exactly like what belongs in your point of view and what doesn't. And then additionally, right, like this also helps like a potential community understand who you are and what to expect from you. I always let people know, especially if they're brand new creators, that you can always broaden your page. You can always expand content pillars and niches. Emma's Edition just started off as a style page. And then from there, I evolved it as I grew up and went through different life stages. And so, you know, for a little bit, I talked about the career aspect while I was in corporate America. And then I started doing more travel. And now overall, like Emma's Edition is still a style page, but it's really expanded as a lifestyle, I would say, lifestyle page, because I pretty much talk about like my life and like going through my different life stages. And I still include travel in there, even though I am a new mom and I haven't traveled in a while. I am like recycling old content, because one day I would still like to figure out how to, you know, include travel with Emma's Edition in the future, as, you know, I raise Braxton and I grow with my family. All right, friends. So now that we've created a mission statement, it's time to pick a platform. So tip number four, friends, if you're not sure like what platform to start with, I really recommend taking a step back and figuring out your communication style. I've talked about this in the podcast before, but especially as a new creator, I think it can be really intimidating to be like, wait a minute, like I am not comfortable like speaking in front of the camera, or I am not comfortable taking photos, or I'm not comfortable like recording my voice and publishing it on a podcast episode. So know that everyone has different communication strengths and styles, and know that there's a communication strength that you have and that aligns with a platform. Because some creators are going to feel really natural on video, and other influencers are going to feel more confident taking photos. So here's just a few examples, friend, right? These are a few major platforms and communication styles to consider. So if you are interested in taking and editing photos, you might consider Instagram or Pinterest as one of your platforms that you start with. If you are interested in filming and editing short form videos, then you might experiment with YouTube Shorts, TikTok, and Instagram. If you are interested in, you know, writing long form content, like maybe you want to create a website someday or a blog, then for you, right, like writing and creating a blog or writing LinkedIn articles or Medium articles, or even considering like starting to maybe pitch to publications, might be the direction that you go in. I feel like it can be tempting to like pick what the trendy platform is, and even though it might not be the right communication fit. So I really do recommend like thinking about, okay, what is my communication strength? Is it writing? Is it speaking? Am I open to being in front of the camera? Do I want to learn, you know, how to produce like long form content? So I feel like picking a platform is definitely a mix of like understanding your communication strength, and then also like being clear about like what your interests are, because even though, you know, it might be a communication strength for you to, you know, you might be really strong writer, it's still going to take some time to like figure out how to write content online. And so, just like know that like your interests also can play in it. Like when I started Instagram, I didn't really know that I was like comfortable in front of the camera until I started taking photos. And I was like, oh, I'm actually like really comfortable in front of the camera. Like I like being in it. I love posing. I love doing this. And then that evolved to being okay speaking in front of, you know, speaking in the camera, being okay starting to create and edit videos. But for me, friends, like creating short form videos, like took me a really long time. Like I started experimenting. I got on TikTok in 2019. And I feel like when everyone got on TikTok in 2020, I still like was not ready, not comfortable. Like I was creating content on TikTok, but I was like, still like, oh my God, like, what do? I don't know how to do this. And then now, like a few years later, I'm very comfortable, you know, taking and editing videos, but it took me a few years. Like that was like not a natural thing. And again, like I started with Instagram and my blog, and then I started to expand to other platforms from there. All right, friends. So another tip for you, if you are a new creator or an influencer starting out in 2024, is to start creating content. And so I know probably this is a given. And if you are already interested in becoming a creator, maybe you're already experimenting with creating content. And just to define what content is, right, friends? So content can be visual or audio. So content is anything that could be photos, images, designs, written words, voice, video. Maybe it's graphics, right? It's basically any material that's just shared online. And know that creating content takes time and practice. And so I feel like, again, like I shared with you guys, it took me a few years to figure out how to create and produce short form video content. And so like my tip for you, additional tip for you, friends, is like just start practicing, right? If you're a creator who really wants to create short form or long form video content, I recommend like starting to just document everything. Like if you are, for example, like a DIY creator, maybe you start filming you shopping at thrift shops or secondhand stores and picking out that piece of furniture, and then actually like documenting you, you know, flipping it, sanding it down, painting it, you know, changing the handles, whatever it is. I am not a DIY creator at all, but this is like the videos that I watch. And so just documenting your process, I think, is a really great way to start that. And I also recommend, you know, as you document your process, like starting to like pick one day a week to do this, right? Because you really have to like put it on your calendar or like figure out a time for you to start doing this. Because if you're like, okay, I'm going to start doing this, but you never actually do it right, like make it a challenge for yourself. Like once a week, I'm going to document my process. Like once a week, I'm going to start, you know, documenting me, picking out an outfit, getting dressed. And then that way, you know, you get into the practice of like starting to create that short form or long form piece of video content. Additionally, friends, like I feel like aside from just like starting to like take photos and videos, one thing to do is also to start experimenting with the different tools out there. There's lots of photo and editing tools out there. There's lots of video editing tools. I feel like I've seen creators use CapCut, VideoLeap. I personally use Splice, and there's also Adobe Premiere Rush to edit. Photo editing tools, I feel like the most popular are probably Adobe Lightroom. I still use Adobe Lightroom, even though I still outsource most of my photography. There's also PixArt and Snapseed. And so, yeah, just get in the habit, start documenting, you know, whatever process that you want to do, and then start actually like playing around with the editing tools, because there's the taking the content, like creating it, and then there's the editing the content. So yeah, that's just like one of the things that I really recommend. Additionally, friends, if you are someone, this is so funny. I got a message today from a few friends who really want to start a podcast show. And so I do want to start, just touch on this. If you are someone who does not want to show their face online and you have a clear passion and you really want to start talking about it, creating content about it, and you're very comfortable with speaking and you just like want to speak into a mic, I would really recommend considering a podcast. And if you aren't sure where to get started, again, like go through the exercise, right? Like pick a podcast name, like think about like what your content pillar or your niche would be for the podcast. Like I think it's really important to define like what that mission statement is in content pillar, because there are like more listeners still than there are podcast episodes. So I will state like the opportunity is still there, but it's like really important to launch out of the gate with a clear point of view. I think lifestyle podcasts can still be successful, but I also think like in this day and age, it's just like really helpful to just like have a clear point of view on like what your podcast is about. Because if you think about you as the consumer going out, listening to different podcasts, right? I feel like some people want to be entertained. Some people want to listen to sports. Some people want to listen to the news. Some people want to listen to business, right? I feel like you have to like think about that. Like if you start a podcast today, like what do you want your listeners to go to you for? So for me, friends, when we started the Creative Edition, formerly known as the Content Creatives Podcast back in 2020, my former co-host and I, Maddie, we were chatting and I literally told her, I was like, we have to come from a clear point of view. And right now there's not many influencer content creator podcasts out there. So I think this is the space that we can start with. And I feel like this is going to be like a resource for other creators out there. And like, that's exactly what we did before we started. We were like, okay, here's our mission statement, here's our colors, and here's what we're going to talk about. And then we launched. Additionally, friends, if you are a creator who wants to start a podcast show, I recommend just starting to brainstorm or outline potential podcast episodes. Because again, you might be like, oh my gosh, this would be such a good podcast idea. But then when you start to like outline or brainstorm podcast episodes, you might only have like one or two ideas. I think it's helpful to just have like a handful of ideas, maybe even like a dozen if you can, just like brainstorm different podcast episodes that you could talk about. And then that way it kind of creates like a schedule, not a schedule, but like it creates like, oh, okay, here's other things that I can talk about in the future for this podcast, you know, specific podcast show. Additionally, just like, you know, creating content online, like you really should also test out the different tools that are out there. I personally use Audacity to record, but some people record on GarageBand or Descript. And then you should also experiment and explore the different recording softwares. Like if you really want to have guests on, some people use Zoom. I have switched to Squadcast, but a lot of people also use Riverside FM. And then lastly, I would recommend looking at all the different podcast platforms to push your podcast out into Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And the most popular ones that I've seen are Buzzsprout, Podbean, or Acast. All right, friends. So after you are experimenting, you know, with content, again, I recommend like just start creating content, right? It's like
just know that like your first piece of content is like not going to be the greatest piece of content, but you have to take that first step because you need that practice. Like your 10th piece of content is going to be better than that first one, and your 20th piece of content is going to be better than the 10th one, and so on. And so just start creating content, start recording podcast episodes if that's something that you want to do. And, you know, at this point, right, you've defined your mission statement, you thought about your content pillar. So now I think it's really important to think about your target audience. I feel like a lot of creators think about their audience a little bit later in the creator like life stages. Like I feel like a lot of creators start to think about their audience in the sprout stage, which is fine, right? Because it is time intensive to create content and like figure out that whole process. And so figuring out your audience just might come a little bit later. But if you can, and you're at the very beginning of your stage, I think it's helpful to at least start, you know, noodling about your target audience. So if you've never heard of like what a target audience is, a target audience is honestly just a community of people that you want to relate to or you want to connect with. A target audience might be defined by their life stage, the location, their interests, and other demographics out there. Here's just like a few examples out there, right? So if you're a health and wellness foodie, your target audience might be, you know, a group of people who want to start eating healthier. They might live in major markets, major cities, or they might, you know, just want to start eating healthier and they have no idea where to get started, right? And the benefit of defining a target audience early is that if you are a health and wellness foodie and you know you want to start talking about people who want to start eating healthier, then you know what type of content to create, right? You can start creating content about, you know, that turning point when, you know, you might start creating content when you decided to start eating healthier, when you decided to, you know, start including more fruits and veggies, when you started integrating, you know, different things in your diet to help you feel better. And then for you, right, you can start creating that type of content to start attracting, you know, that target audience. Maybe for you, if you are a style creator, you might focus on creating style content for women over 50, right? I feel like there's lots of great creators out there. Style over 50 is like a hashtag now. And then, you know, you specifically want to connect with women over 50 and helping them achieve, you know, their own personal sense of style. Or maybe you're a style creator and you're only focused on thrifted fashion. So you show how you thrift and how you put those outfits together. I think one creator I really admire who's a style and thrifty creator is Chelsea As of Late, based out of New York. Her sense of style is bold, it's loud, it's colorful, and it's thrifted. So I like love the outfits that she puts together and how she styles those thrifted pieces. I feel like it's a really great way in showing how attainable and how stylish like thrifted fashion can be. And it's a really refreshing point of view. All right, friends. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode about how to get started as a creator in 2024. We talked about a lot of things, friends. We talked about, you know, picking your name. Maybe you start with your own name, or maybe you create, you know, a username that's around your content niche pillar. We talked about picking a niche or a content pillar and knowing that you can always expand, you know, your content pillars and your niches later. We also talked about creating a mission statement. And if a mission statement is too intimidating or daunting for you at this stage, maybe you just start with, you know, your purpose as a creator. And then we discussed, you know, picking a platform that's aligned with your communication style. So take a step back. You know, for you, are you a strong writer? Are you a strong speaker? Or are you really interested in, you know, starting to speak in front of the camera? Like maybe it's not a strength yet, but that's something that you're interested in. Know that you can align your communication preferences and your strengths with the platforms out there. And then lastly, we talked about like creating content, just getting out there, starting to create content for that target audience, starting to experiment with the different tools out there. It takes time to figure out like what tools work for you. And figuring out your process. All right, friends, if you have any more tips for how to get started as a creator in this new year, let me know. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, and recommend the podcast to a friend. If we haven't connected on Instagram yet, you can find us at Emma's Edition and at The Creative Edition. Sign up for our email newsletter and join our Facebook group, and we'll see you guys next time.